Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
It's Jim Cramer here. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street. Don't miss a minute of the action.
Good Wednesday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm David Faber, live from Post 9 at the New York Stock Exchange. There he is, Jim Cramer, still in San Jose at NVIDIA's AI Developers Conference. We'll have highlights from... Are you still doing the interview? Has it ended? I'm not even sure. That long interview with Jensen Huang from NVIDIA. Let's give you a look at futures, of course. As we get ready for what Jim and I like to call hump day. I call that a mixed picture. I don't know what you want to call it, Jim. Mixed.
Mixed picture.
Yeah.
Looks mixed.
Mixed. All right, good. Let's get to our roadmap.
Mixed.
Starts with what else? NVIDIA and the AI boom. The shares, of course, up 240% in the last year. We're going to have more from Jim's exclusive with the company's CEO, Jensen Huang, and why he thinks the PC is changing forever. Speaking of PCs, the engine behind them, Intel, preparing for a $100 billion spending spree across four states. This after securing CHIPS Act grants from Uncle Sam. We're going to hear from Commerce Secretary Raimondo and Intel CEO Pat Gelsinger. That'll be this hour. And, of course, don't forget, it's Powell's moment. Wall Street waiting for the latest guidance from the Fed chair today on the future of rates, whether that might include some cuts. Let's start with NVIDIA, Jim's exclusive, of course, with Jensen Huang. He spoke on Mad Money about reinventing the computer. Take a listen.
We reinvented the computer as we know it. The computer has been the same since 1964, since the year after I was born. And we reinvented it with this idea called accelerated computing. Now, you could have a computer that's 100 times faster or 20 times more energy efficient, cost 20 times less, and to be able to do solve problems at a scale that nobody's ever imagined.
Jim, you know, so many different takeaways, including that. It's something you've been discussing to a certain extent. And I think a lot of investors are just trying to get their arms around all of this. What does it mean? Where do I want to be? Is it just NVIDIA? Can that growth continue? I mean, so many different questions that seem to emanate from both his presentation your interview.
Well, look, I think that you have to go with analogies. And I didn't get this one from Jensen, but I've been thinking about it all night, which is that right now we are really happy because we have propeller airplanes and they're terrific. And a lot of people are wondering, why do we need something faster? Why do we need anything faster? And Jensen's got a jet. You know what? It's a secret weapon that he's using and everyone's going to want a jet. We just don't know it yet, David. That's the difference.
And everything's going to be so much faster. There was that moment where he pointed to, I think, sort of the setup of the servers. And his point was, this is so much faster and it's going to take up so much less space. Obviously, it's still going to be in a data center, but it's going to replace what is a current data center just with, you know, it wasn't that much equipment that he was looking at.
Well, he's got a great sense of irony and he's a very humble man. So it's difficult to really grasp sometimes what he says because it has so much gravitas. For instance, he said, Jim, I asked him, I said, do we have to do a do-over of our entire system? And he said, look, only 95% of the chips aren't any good anymore. Solid 5% leaves. Only 95% of the chips just aren't what we want. And when you hear that, and then you hear all these skeptics, you say, well, do they listen to him? Is he too calm? Does he have to be more jumping up and down? What does he have to do?
Right. And you're seeing that in some of the research now in terms of that point you're making. Yeah. The strong second leg of GPU growth will be spend shift from an x86 data center to accelerated computing. And to your point.
Right.
Well,
David,
good.
Look, I dealt with a robot yesterday.
Yeah.
I dealt with a robot at a bar. Okay.
Yeah.
And I said, I'd like a cocktail. And he said, okay. He started making me some mocktail. And I said, I wanted that. And then I said, shake and not stir. Well, he didn't understand that. okay? Because that's like me being Bond, which is difficult to understand to begin with. But next year when I come back, he will come back with a quip when I say shaken, not stirred, that will be from Goldfinger.
Right, right. I could see that.
You can see that?
I can. Yeah. I can see the advance.
He says he can see it.
What does it all mean for, let's go through some of the names, though, the big names that we've been talking about for the last year, whether it's Meta, who is the biggest, by the way, the biggest single spender when it comes, I believe, to NVIDIA chips, right? They're spending more than anyone.
Right, but I have a comment about Meta, which is that later on I'm going to see the Vision Pro and what NVIDIA is doing with the Vision Pro. I am not going to see what it's doing with Meta because I'm not sure. I know that Jensen personally likes the Vision Pro, and I think that's more additive to Apple than anything that we're talking about, including the fact that Tim Cook, wow, is in China. How about that? Let's have a Tim Cook watch in China. No, I'd rather talk about what Jensen wants to do with the Vision Pro, which I think is monster because it's business to business, and that's what Apple's been waiting to do.
Yeah, you talked about this a bit yesterday. You really think there are enterprise applications for the Vision Pro. And
absolutely,
they can only
both
be
in buying autos
as
and buying
a result
homes.
Of accelerated computing. I mean, it's not the stuff in the Vision Pro. It's what you can deliver to it as a result of this.
You watched the interview. You did. You watched it.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened. Right. And that stock was up $1.50 because of that. But people would never say that because that would require genuine accelerated computing by listening to the interview. And people don't have accelerated computing. Do you know that Moby Dick can be read in 1 second?
I picked that up during your interview yesterday, and in fact, I mentioned it on air. He didn't even say a second. He kind of indicated less than a second. I didn't even know what to do with that.
War and Peace is his full second.
I know. I didn't really.
And, it's brilliant. And think about this.
I know. I try not to.
But David, that's putting it in English. Our viewers get that because they all had to study Moby Dick. They understand Ahab. They understand that Starbucks gets it much faster than the triple venti cappuccino that I tried to get the other day at the airport. Starbucks in the book is better than Starbucks the store.
Right. But a lot of people are trying to put it all together and what it means, again, for this ecosystem, for the Metas, not just the NVIDIAs, for Apple. We've talked about things moving to the edge, for example. This week we had that story earlier in the week from Bloomberg about Google or Alphabet negotiating potentially with Apple about including Gemini. When we say the edge, we mean essentially the device, just to be clear, which potentially would require a lot more memory in the device itself, by the way, if you're running these kinds of apps.
But you could put 280 billion microprocessors in this. We spoke with Synopsys yesterday, and you could have 280 billion. They're actually transistors, but they're pieces of something.
208. It was 208 billion.
Small.
It was 208 billion transistors in the thing.
It was too noisy in here. I thought he said 280.
No, wow. 208.
Granularity.
Yeah.
I couldn't hear.
Really? You couldn't hear?
I think we
have some more from Jensen's interview that I think is worth taking a listen and get your reaction on the other side.
There's no computer company that has ever been built like ours. We created a brand new way of doing computing. Everybody we work with here, there's researchers and scientists from $100 trillion worth of industries, healthcare and financial services, manufacturing and such. And when we're done building all these computers, we break them up into parts and we integrate them into Microsoft Azure, OCI, GCP, AWS, HP and Dell and IBM, and they take it to market. And so the application software is being offered by Cadence and Synopsys and Ansys and Dassault, really amazing company that we work with, Dassault and Autodesk and Adobe and others. Our technology is integrated into theirs. Our technology is integrated into all these computer makers. And the world connects it together. And that's the reason why NVIDIA is everywhere.
Every data center. Is that we hear all the time, but Amazon's working on a competitive product, Alphabet. All I hear from you is good. We want to help everybody develop whatever's necessary. You are not at war with customers.
No. Well, we do something very different, first of all. Our architecture on the one hand, could do artificial intelligence. It could do computer graphics, physics simulation, data processing, SQL data processing, which consumes a lot of energy, a lot of cost. For many customers, we reduce it by 95%, 20 times reduction in cost and energy used. So much so that Google's data proc is now accelerated by it. We announced a partnership yesterday with a great company, Databricks. They're going to accelerate their data process. They're the large-scale data processing cloud company. They're going to accelerate their data processing on it. And so all of this is something you can do on our architecture. The other thing you can do with our architecture is everywhere.
Right.
And so if you're a developer and you develop on NVIDIA, you can run it on AWS, GCP, Azure, HP, Dell, IBM, anywhere.
All right, Jim, you want to explain to our viewers what exactly that all means?
Sure. Well, you take a look at, you mentioned several times, Amazon Web Services. I'm going to spend some time with Adam Selipsky today, who runs that. This is all about the ability to move so fast that in Anthropic's case, in Amazon, what they're saying is it moves so fast and it's also more accurate. Okay, so this new step function of what he brought in moves, gives you the information faster, can read much faster, but it also isn't as prone to hallucination. And hallucination is what everyone's worried about when it comes to artificial intelligence and answering and having inference. Cutting down on hallucination will make it so that people will be much more willing to adopt and use the ChatGPTs of the world or the Claudes of the world, which I think may be ahead. I think Claude 3 may be ahead of everything right now.
Really? Anthropic's Claude 3. Why?
Yes. Yes, I do. Well, because it has the fewest mistakes and has the quickest answers and has the most in-depth answers. And that is the one that Amazon Web Services has backed. Amazon Web Services is the biggest buyer of the fastest stuff that NVIDIA does across the whole line. That's why it's so important to realize why Amazon Web Services has such a great business, David. It's because they have superior recall.
I thought Meta was the biggest buyer. I thought Meta was. They're
the biggest buyer of one kind of chip.
I see.
Amazon Web Services is the biggest buyer of the whole suite. All the chips that Jensen just mentioned. And thank you for running a longer version, because you don't get what he's about until you hear it. Listen to that breadth of clients, and you know that this is a company where it's really hard to pin down what they're going to make per share, because every one of those clients, as he told me when he said that Andy Jassy, CEO of Amazon, would buy anything that he had, every one of those is on allocation. Not one of those companies has enough chips right now. Think about that. Everybody else has inventory problems throughout the chain because there's too much that has to be destocked. And this man cannot meet the demand from those customers. It's an amazing moment for accelerated computing and generative AI. It's an amazing moment. And people are thinking too small, except for that one man right there. He's not.
Okay, when we come back, we're going to continue to talk about chips. This time, Intel CEO Pat Gelsinger will be part of the discussion. Billions that his company, in fact, is receiving from the U.S., plus what Commerce Secretary Raimondo told Jim about the CHIPS Act subsidies for Intel. Let's give you a look at futures. We're going to be trading here in about 17 minutes. See sort of a mixed bag. The NASDAQ may be up, but the S&P perhaps down a bit. We're back in minutes.
You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
All right, welcome back. We're going to stay with the chip sector. AI, of course, an important component of that as well. The White House announces that Intel has been awarded up to $8.5 billion in funding from the CHIPS Act, could receive an additional $11 billion. The funding would benefit Intel's plans to build chip fabs in four different states. You're going to want to hear what Intel CEO Pat Gelsinger has to say about it all. That'll be later this hour. First, though, take a listen to what Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo, had to say to Jim about the subsidies. That was in an interview that is going to air tonight on Mad Money.
Right now, the United States of America produces zero leading-edge chips in the United States. We buy 92% from one company in Taiwan. That is not resilient. That is not safe. Right? That is an overly concentrated supply chain for a critical item. And that's why it makes sense for the U.S. government to provide these subsidies so that these companies make it in America.
It's a national security issue, Jim. It's certainly seen as that, given that Taiwan Semi basically controls the manufacturing of the highest-end chips, including, of course, all the ones we've been talking about. So where all the NVIDIA designs go to be made. Intel was the leader for so long and then just lost it when it came to the manufacturing side, not to mention the design side as well. I mean, it was once our premier chip company. It's had a good year as a stock, by the way, up 44%. But it's just to put it in perspective, $177 billion market value versus NVIDIA's $2.1 trillion market value.
Right, and it's important to recognize that AMD passed Intel, too, which is something that if Andy Grove were alive, the man who really accelerated Intel's growth, I think he would just be shocked. AMD at one point was being joked about as the company that Intel kept alive in order to be able not to have a Justice Department investigation of monopoly. And now, well, just say AMD is the only rival to NVIDIA. Intel does not make the leading chips. Maybe it will with the money that it's receiving. But right now, Intel, as you said, is just very far behind. They had a series of CEOs that, frankly, were suboptimal. But that was not talked about much because, you know, David, other than, I think, on a couple of shows, we never criticize CEOs for having no vision. But Intel had no vision. And this is what you get when you have no vision.
Yeah. It is sometimes hard to discern from our vantage point how poorly things are going from an execution standpoint. You look quarter to quarter, it sort of takes a while. But to your point, decision not to provide into the iPhone when they had a marketer running the company, frankly, instead of a scientist. Many people point to that period of time. You're right. There's no doubt. It's a Harvard case study to be done, I assume, if they haven't already. Pat Gelsinger
trying to turn it around. One of the funniest moments.
Yeah.
Jensen came to Intel and said, look, you guys should be doing gaming chips. I happen to have a friend who was on the board at that time and said, look, gaming chips are very, very fast. Maybe we should make an investment in gaming chips. And Jensen's proposal was right on the desk of Intel. And Andy Grove was so dismissive that it became a doctrine not to talk about gaming chips, which is why Jensen is not historically that much of a pal with Intel.
Yeah. That said, you know, the hope is that we are going to be able to make, or that we will have a lot more manufacturing capacity here in this country, perhaps as much as 20% up from, I think, what is 12 right now, in order to make these advanced chips, because there is that risk.
There's no payback.
Semi.
Yeah. There's no payback for 5 or 6 years in these chips, so you need to have subsidies. Brad Koenig, who used to run Global Tech Investment Banking for Goldman, he's the advisor on this. So don't think that the government knows that they don't know what they're doing. I think Brad's probably the most knowledgeable when it comes to doing exactly what the government would like best.
Yeah, and I would like best. And your guest tonight, Gina Raimondo, as well, is deep into this stuff, I think.
Hitter.
From every CEO.
They talk to Amazon and Alphabet. They talk to Apple. They talk to every major company. And yet we think that the government's a bunch of idiots. I think that people who call her someone who doesn't know what she's doing, our people should look at her body of work, because they should be embarrassed of their criticism. Embarrassed. And we know that there are people who are very critical.
Yeah, I know. But every time I run into a CEO in this world, they've heard from her recently. All right, Jim, get ready.
Exactly.
You got an opening. We got an opening bell, but you have a mad dash to get ready for. Stay with us.
Let's get straight to the point. You want to grow your portfolio to fight rising costs of inflation or pay off your debt or anything standing in the way of you and financial freedom, right? Yahoo Finance, our sponsor today, can help. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been helping great investors like you. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just looking for tips, Yahoo Finance makes it super easy by putting all the tools and data you need in one spot. Yahoo Finance takes a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and more. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including 401k and other investments. That's how Yahoo Finance gives you insights and helps you take a look at your wealth in its entirety. That big picture perspective is what great investors need. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com.
All right, let's get to a mad dash. Chipotle is on the menu.
Yes, yesterday I pressed Jensen Huang to give us a big split because I said that individuals love splits even though they don't create value. Well, David, Chipotle's listening to this call. They're doing a 50-to-1 stock split. 50-to-1. And you can see what's happening. And they're doing it so employees get stock and employees want to, this is much easier for employees to understand. But David, the individual wants this. The institutions hate it because it means more commission dollars. It hurts the S&P because for these index funds because they add more friction. But the individual goes crazy. There is nothing new, David, with Chipotle. Nothing except for this 50-to-1. And look what it's doing. A 50-for-1, and the stock has a major move, 5%. This is what corporate America should be listening to. This is how you get individuals involved with your stock.
It's still really, that's still the case, even with all these short-dated options and all these other ways to do things. It still matters to people.
You're
that you'd be
so
able to
right
buy
to
something
that.
For $29 instead of $2,943.
That is the right question. But Doug McMillon at Walmart said that Sam Walton had done an analysis of this for his employees. There are people who understand this. They understand that there are sticky investors and there are fickle investors. The fickle investor, we should stop catering to them. They're the ones that don't care about this stuff at all. But the individual investor will buy Chipotle, put it away, and, you know, when the carne asada, when they get that chicken al pastor, which is really good, David, maybe they'll buy a couple shares. Have you had the al pastor?
No, I don't really I don't really go to Chipotle. Sorry.
Do you know what guac is?
Yes, I do.
Guac?
I know what guac is. I do.
Okay.
I do.
Right. I just want to be sure. Because guac costs are higher.
Once again, the avocados are soaring again.
It spiked a bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yes. When you owned the Mexican restaurant, we used to get real-time pricing information on the avocados, but not so much anymore.
Avocado killed me. I had 3 months where I lost money because of avocado. I couldn't make it up with Corona.
Here's the opening bell. Here's the big board. Redwood Trust, let's say a real estate investment trust, celebrating its 30th anniversary over at the NASDAQ. AI infrastructure firm Astera Labs. That's an IPO. Its CEO is going to be on Money Movers. That's about an hour and a half from now. All right, Jim, you know what? I'm going to start us off somewhere a little bit different than everything we've been talking, and I'm going to go to Kering. I'm going to start with Kering, the luxury goods company.
You're going to start with
company.
Gucci?
I'm going to start
Gucci?
With Gucci.
Big because, customer of Salesforce.
Yeah, because we got a update, some preliminary information regarding the first quarter is what it's called, and they're talking about challenging current trends. Consolidated revenue in the first quarter could decline by as much as 10% on a comparable basis. And they're citing a steeper-than-expected sales drop at Gucci, notably in the Asia-Pacific region, where comp revenues in the first quarter could be down by nearly 20%, Jim. This is taking that entire, all its cohorts in that area down as well. I want to take a look. Of course, you'd expect LVMH and the like. Your thoughts?
It never stops. China has gotten away from conspicuous consumption. The Chinese, I think the government doesn't really want it. I think that the people are not as wealthy as they used to be. And you don't need to have Gucci, David. You can live without Gucci, okay?
Yeah. I have managed to do that throughout my entire life. Interesting, I don't know if you saw this journal story about sort of a tax as well on the richest man in the country. Yes. And some leaders of business, sort of nationalist kind of attacks on them. That's going on at the same time. I just pointed out, given the Chinese high-end consumer is very important for these companies. You see Richemont, LVMH, Kering, all down, but Kering obviously bearing the brunt of this. That said, I feel like recently we've seen different kinds of performance. You know, you'll see one not doing well, but it doesn't necessarily translate to some of the others, including, for example, I remember Burberry had a bad quarter, but LVMH didn't.
No, LVMH had a great number. Richemont wasn't nearly as bad. Now, David, what I see happening is, if you look at the casino stocks, Macau has come back. They're letting people gamble in Macau. They're very, very fickle. But I think what you said about the ultra rich is very important. Because unlike, say, you know, Senator Warren, who can kind of rap about the ultra rich, their government can jail the ultra rich is a much more critical thing. And so what we're seeing is the crackdown, again, on conspicuous consumption that, David, I think must be frightening all of the wealthy in China.
It has to be. Maybe, but, you know, and then
I'll
go to PDD Holdings, which, of course, is a very important company there. Temu is one of its main businesses, as our viewers may well know. And things look pretty good there. PDD is up sharply. You can see the 123% right. overall increase in revenues from the company. And this includes, obviously, domestic China. It may also be on the earnings side that they did a better job in terms of executing, and so margins a bit better or the business just more profitable than some had anticipated. But this was well above many of the estimates,
right.
both on the revenue and profit side that analysts had for this company. And again, we're talking about the consumer in China here.
Well, the price of what Temu makes, I mean, it's unbelievable how cheaply you can get it. Now, a lot of us my daughter got sent a big box of Temu stuff because it was like she's an influencer or something. I bought some stuff for my wife at Temu just to see how it worked. It was not well received, frankly. I think it was mostly because of the Dow issue, you know,
the polyethylene issue.
The actual making of it, which I think would trigger fire hazard throughout New York City. But that's what they make. They make incredibly cheap stuff. The prices are insane. It's Crazy Eddie like the prices.
Yeah, insane. Good old Crazy Eddie. In the fourth quarter, the quote is, we saw growing demand driven by encouraging consumer sentiment. That was the company's co-chief executive officer. Going on to say, we will continue our high-quality development strategy and stay dedicated to offer great value.
High quality? Did they say high quality?
They did. They said high quality.
They mentioned high quality. I saw Jassy at Amazon. You can buy their stuff on Amazon, and they actually give you a date. If you buy it through them, it comes within like 2 or 3 weeks. Okay, if you buy it through Amazon, you get it immediately. You have to pay a little more.
Right.
I mean, I bought a swimsuit for my wife, which again was a suboptimal situation when we received it.
That's not a smart move, just in general. I mean, come on, man. You've been married a couple of times.
It was ill-advised.
You've been married to Lisa for a while here. What are you doing buying her swimsuits on Temu?
I was going for number three wife. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, it's nice. It's thoughtful. I would never do that.
It was a...
You don't...
It was kind of... It was like, you know, how you eat, like have a popsicle and your brain freezes.
You had a brain freeze, yeah. All right.
I realized it. See, as soon as you started to feel it, and it felt like something that is made by DuPont, that was indicative.
I want to get to Boeing. I want to get to a bunch of other things, Jim. But we do have to move on because we do have a special guest, as our viewers know. The Biden administration awarding Intel nearly $20 billion worth of grants and loans. That, of course, from the CHIPS Act. The company right now will receive $8.5 billion in grants, but could get as much as an additional $11 billion in loans. That would be to help it build out fab manufacturing, fab facilities here in the U.S. Let's bring in John Fort, because he has the man of the hour, Pat Gelsinger. John.
David, thank you. I am here in Chandler, Arizona, with Pat Gelsinger, the CEO of Intel. Big day for you. Been waiting for this for a while. CHIPS Act funding. $8.5 billion, that's a lot of money, but shy of the $10 billion that some, maybe you, were hoping that you'd get. And then there was this DOD kind of $2.5 billion pullback headline. So tell me, with this funding now, what's this going to do for the timetable for you for getting Intel back to manufacturing leadership?
Well, we just say this is an exciting day for America. It's an exciting day for the CHIPS program. It's an exciting day for Intel. And you're behind us, the construction project alive and well, and we're moving forward rapidly. And the facilities behind us, hey, these need to come online in 2025. You know, to be part of our 18A, you know, our finish of our getting back to leadership. So this brings us back to leadership manufacturing for some of our key products. Also will be key for our foundry business as well. And it really is sort of the coming together of everything that we did. You know, a lot of shoe leather, getting the CHIPS Act passed and the $8.5 billion, the additional $11 billion of loan guarantees, the investment tax credit, and then more to come with defense and the R&D investments. So today's a great day. It sort of is, I'll call it the end of the beginning of our journey to rebuild semiconductors in America. This is exciting.
What's coming with defense? What kind of timetable should we be looking on?
No particular timetable in that area, but everything we're talking about is the commercial efforts that we've laid out. And as you said, we want to build world-class, at scale, commercially viable leadership technology, and then we want to add to those capabilities the additional requirements for defense and intelligence. So that work is underway. But today, a proud day to get the commercial work well underway. And thank you to the CHIPS Act. Thank you to Congress, President Biden, and the Department of Commerce. This is an exciting moment.
Okay, level set with me now, because we're almost exactly 3 years and 1 month from when you started this job as Intel CEO. The stock is about a third lower than it was then. There's been a lot going on in the market. But how far are investors now from being able to tell whether this turnaround in design and in manufacturing that you told them was going to take a while, this wasn't going to be overnight, how far are investors from seeing whether this is working?
Yeah, and I certainly believe that we have taken our investors on a journey. You know, we said very clearly this is 5 years to turn the company around, 3 years into that journey, and now we see the light at the end of the tunnel on the process technology. We just held our Foundry Day where the industry, the EDA community says, oh, the industry can build on Intel as their manufacturing partner. The products, you know, our product execution has, you know, almost entirely, you know, been restored, as we'd say, back to delivering the products to our customers that we said we would, launching new categories like the AI PC, and now this entire AI craze is going to demand more leadership technology than even we imagined 5 years ago. And facilities like this in Ohio and New Mexico and Oregon are going to be even more important than I envisioned. So I'd say halfway through the five-year journey, and we're a little bit over halfway through the challenges to rebuild this iconic company. And we're appreciative of everything that's come together to make this day possible.
Five nodes in 4 years, still on track.
Absolutely. Okay. And this will be the culmination of that right behind us as we finish the fifth node, 18A, and that'll be manufactured right here.
Let's put that into context for people, because we've been talking a lot about chips lately. I was in Austin a little more than a week ago with Lisa Su. Jensen Huang at NVIDIA has been putting out news this week. Just talking about Blackwell, which I believe is made on TSMC's latest 4-nanometer process. Now, you have argued that this isn't apples to apples when you're comparing process technologies, Intel's to others. So if you were to make Blackwell for NVIDIA, how long before your manufacturing facilities would be ready to do that at scale?
Well, what you see behind us here, you know, would be the sub 2 nanometers, or 18A, as we call it. So two nodes more advanced than what they're using today,
right,
you know, for that. So that makes it faster, smaller, cheaper, you know, more performant capabilities. And this will start coming online next year in 2025 for manufacturing. So we would hope to be manufacturing the most advanced AI chips for all of them, for Intel's products, but for AMD and NVIDIA and Apple and Amazon and Google. We want all of those chips to be manufactured in America, taking advantage of the R&D that's done here uniquely in America as well. And that's why today is such a thrilling moment.
I always got to ask about Gaudi 3. Any new news on when that accelerator chip competing with the others is going to be ready?
Coming very soon, you know, very healthy. We're bringing it up in the labs, and the systems are getting bigger that we're running it on. Very healthy. You'll be hearing more about that soon.
All right, going to take a pause here. We're going to hear more from you on CNBC here on Overtime. But for now, Pat Gelsinger, thank you. Send it back to the New York Stock Exchange.
John, thank you. A reminder, by the way, tune in tonight, 4 p.m. Eastern, actually. That's later today. Closing bell overtime. John will have much more of his conversation, as you saw, with Intel CEO Pat Gelsinger. Jim, let's bring you back in. I mean, you know, interesting, of course, we talk about NVIDIA, we talk about Blackwell, and then you've got John asking, hey, is this facility ever going to be in a position to produce those chips?
Well, look, I think that the problem is once you're finished the facility, Jensen will, from NVIDIA will already have moved on to the next. I mean, that is what keeps happening. Like, Lisa Su put out some chips, and they were terrific. And then right on top of that, Jensen had the next chips. And all the big customers want are the latest and greatest. So it's absolutely, there'll be demand for what Pat Gelsinger is making. But the real demand when it comes to the Amazons and the Alphabets, when it comes to the Metas, when it comes to Microsoft, are going to be for whatever is the fastest at the time and what has software. NVIDIA will have software. Intel is not a software company. So Intel will be at a disadvantage. That said, look, it's very difficult to get engineers in our country. It's 50-1 between Taiwan and us in terms of the number of engineers. The number of builders, very, very difficult. So I think this is a great thing that the Commerce Secretary is doing. And these plants would not be built because they're uneconomic without the subsidy.
Yeah, that is part of the problem. And I mean, Morris Chang, the founder of TSMC, American, of course, he was at Texas Instruments for much of his life. He's an older gentleman now. He's complained about how expensive it is. I mean, in Arizona, where they're trying to build a new fab.
Everything I know is from Morris. I just read everything he does. He's a good friend of Jensen's. And Morris is someone who is idolized in the semiconductor capital equipment business, which, of course, is where the real IP is. The real intellectual property belongs to the KLAs. It belongs to Lam. And Morris Chang, godfather of the construction, there was a Jerry Parker who used to be the architect of the great Intel plants here, Israel and Ireland. They lost that. They lost their way at Intel, and Morris took up the vacuum. That's why Taiwan has such an advantage.
No, I mean, that the 208 billion transistors, that's what we're talking about. The ability to microscopically put all of that. It's just incredible.
You're so right. Remember what Synopsys said. Jensen designs, then the software it's handed off for the software for Synopsys, and then it goes to Taiwan Semi. You need that software component in order to be able to stay ahead of everybody else. That's how inference occurs. Remember, inference is the ability to ask a question in English and get an answer. And as these machines learn more, the answer is more sophisticated. That is not what Intel does. And that is not what Intel will be able to do when this plan is done as efficiently as NVIDIA or AMD.
Yeah, well, but they're not writing the large language model. They're not, you know, using, they're not behind that side of it, NVIDIA. I don't want to get too right. They're allowing the platform to operate for the large language model, correct?
Correct. And I think that that's, you're on your game. That's exactly right. And people who think that they do both, Jensen will correct very quickly. Look, I think Intel is going to do terrific stuff. I am not denigrating. I think this is a great idea. And it should be done there. And we know that from the supply chain problems we had during the pandemic that we are so vulnerable. We need this. At the same time, we have to understand that these chips may not be as valuable as they seem because of what Jensen is thinking about doing 5 years from now.
Right.
This plant may not produce chips are of use for, say, 3-4 years, and Jensen will have moved on.
He did talk about 5 years as well, human-level AI or general intelligent action, as we say, which is a conversation
we'll continue to.
But, yeah, what?
Were you at all concerned about the possibility of these computers, let's say, having biases or being able to say, you know what, I think that after looking at everything, they're smarter than we are?
Yeah, of course. You know I'm concerned about that. What have I been talking about for the last year?
That was a segue.
Oh, okay.
I should have just said, you know what, hey, David, you've been worried, and you know what, I come back with a little bit more concern. I was just trying to get it so that
you're getting a little more concerned now, finally. Huh? All right.
I am about the ability for the machines to be able to have their own opinion.
It's also...
And I don't know if I want the machine's opinion on Moby Dick.
I know. I want to look at all the curriculums and what they're going to do, and all the sovereigns that are going to have their own large language models and are buying all these chips from NVIDIA as well, because they don't want to just rely on the U.S. There's a lot of roads you can go down.
Yeah, David, I come back with newfound recognition of your concerns, and I think we're going to have to address them continually because it's what I saw out here. The machines could conceivably have discarded our opinions.
I want to talk to you a lot more about that. Before we run out of time here, though, Jim, I did want to come to Boeing. The stock's actually up, despite what doesn't seem to be great news from the company's CFO presenting at a conference in which he really does give guidance in terms of negative cash flow that was worse than had been anticipated. As much as for the first quarter, negative $4 to $4.5 billion in free cash flow, some of which will not be made up for the year. They are still talking about being cash flow positive, but again, and it goes back to something called traveled work. For years, they prioritized the movement of the airplane through the factory over getting it done right, and that's got to change. That's a quote from Dave Calhoun previously. And so they've decided, as you saw there, to hold airplanes in a position longer and get after this traveled work broadly. It's going to impact revenue, earnings, and cash flows, both in the quarter and the year. And as I just said, it will be between $4 to $4.5 billion. It's essentially has to do with the fuselage that they used to get from Spirit that was non-conforming. Now they need it to be fully conforming. And it's just going to have the effect of making everything slower, Jim, for Boeing as they sort of and you change their manufacturing process. But
you correctly point out this is a cash flow story. That's how it's always been valued. And the cash flow drain, it's worse than expected. Should the stock be up to? No, it shouldn't be up to.
No, I'm kind of curious as to why it is.
There may be people who think that what they're going to do is get control of fuselage and do Spirit and have Spirit not do Airbus work. But, David, what really matters is that you and I both know from the crisis during the pandemic, it's all about the cash flow with Boeing. And so, therefore, the people who are buying it must think it's about something that is ephemeral versus the cash, which is permanent. Sadly.
They did say when it comes to Spirit AeroSystems, and in fact, if they do buy that company, it would be cash, not equity, that they would use. And the CFO said Spirit shouldn't be a business. It should be a factory.
When they spun it off, they should have thought about that.
All right. I'm going to give you a bond report now, Jim, because it's that time.
Sure.
And I know you care. By the way, we haven't even talked about the Fed. Let's take a look at how treasuries are faring. You want to throw something in here during the bond report? Go ahead.
The Fed meets today.
We'll be right back. All right, Jim, what do you got on the big show tonight?
Final portion of my interview with Jensen Huang from NVIDIA. Amazon Web Services, gigantic user of NVIDIA chips. Gina Raimondo talking about exactly what John Ford's doing, which will be interesting. And then SoFi answering some questions about why the stock fell down so much.
Oh, great show. You're out there.
Oh, thank you, David.
You're ever coming back, or are you just staying out there now?
Actually, I'm going to stay out here for the rest of the week. I'll be at one market later today. Just learning. Thank you for watching all that stuff, because you and I both know that we have to think about it. You're right. I want to congratulate you. I was a little too glib about what can be accomplished with AI. Oh,
now you're starting to worry me.
I was too glib.
All right. We're going to talk about that.
No, I just know that the guardrails are necessary. I was too glib. Thank you.
Jim, have a great day and a great show tonight on Mad. All right, coming up right here, it's a rough morning. We talked a bit about it for luxury retail. Signet Jewelers, though, also included in that. The CEO is going to join us to discuss the company's earnings and guidance.
You've been listening to the opening bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
All opinions expressed by the Squawk on the Street participants are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of CNBC, NBC Universal, or their parent company or affiliates, and may have been previously disseminated by them on television, radio, internet, or another medium. You should not treat any opinion expressed on this podcast as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of an opinion. Such opinions are based upon information Squawk on the Street participants consider reliable, but neither CNBC nor its affiliates and/or subsidiaries warrant date, its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such. To view the full Squawk on the Street disclaimer, please visit cnbc.com/Squawk on the Street disclaimer.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.